Our scripture today, we continue in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached the word to the people. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Word of the Lord. Aha, look at that. Those are some good times. That is the trip where I took my wife for a 5-year anniversary, put her on a plane, put her on an ice cruise boat, went to a different country just to have Starbucks. That's right. This is what we did in Nassau. We went to Starbucks because on the cruise ship, there were no cold brew coffees. And that is the only thing my wife wanted in the hot, hot Caribbean heat. We got off the boat. That was the first time I personally had ever been anywhere out of the country. I was really excited. And from the moment you walk on, it feels like you're still in Florida. Isn't that great? All the restaurants are in English. All the ordering, all the food, English. Stores, great news, good shopping. Just like at Oak Brook Mall. It was fantastically disappointing. When you go out of the country, you get excited to experience the culture, something new. I was like, I can't wait to know what anybody is not saying. I was just excited and thrilled, only to find everywhere I went, English was spoken, and I couldn't even really try local foods because the closest restaurants were all American. I think there was a Dave and Buster's there. I was like, I did not come all the way here for Dave and Buster's. But Melissa goes, but they do have a Starbucks. And if I don't get some cold coffee in me, this anniversary trip's going to change real quick. So we did. We found our way because it was real easy. Everything was in English. And we got the cold brew coffee and all was happy. We actually went back onto the boat and we enjoyed the boat for the first time. We also had two little kids. So this cruise trip originally was supposed to be this wonderful Mediterranean cruise when we first got married. And then came to a Caribbean cruise with two kids and made sure that we couldn't go too far because we had two kids. But we were thankful. We were able to go out on our own, no kids, to Starbucks. But here's the issue with that, right? When we travel, and I know a lot of you are traveling, a lot of you have traveled. There's some good stories with the Crazy Eights, right? But the point of going isn't to experience more of America. My disappointment was it felt like we were in a colony of America. I was longing for that experience to go somewhere different, right? That's the point. It's almost an adventure when we go out, right? When we're going somewhere new and we're learning about different cultures and different people, and it's okay to feel out of place somewhere different. My favorite story that my old Italian teacher used to tell me is that people would go to Rome and get upset because they didn't have authentic chicken parmesan. Why would Italians not have chicken parmesan? Because it's an American dish. It was invented right here. Do you know what's interesting? You can go to a lot of those touristy spots now, and because of Americans, there's an authentic Italian chicken parmesan in Rome. That tells you a lot about who we are. There's more times where people from other countries, they may not like us for a whole bunch of reasons, but one of the reasons is sometimes we can be the worst tourists. Because we want outposts of America wherever we go, right? Sometimes we're like that teenager who we take to a really expensive restaurant and just wants chicken nuggets and french fries. This is something new. Try something new, please, would you? Not that that wasn't my dad to me at one point. right? We get comfortable. We like what we like. But here's my point, okay? Our country is beautiful. You want to go to nice, beautiful beaches, you could go down to Florida and experience that warm weather. You want to go to some high mountains with some snow, we've got that too. You want to experience something close to the Mediterranean, you could go to California. You want to visit the deserts, we got deserts. Our country is that amazing. So why should we as Americans go outside of the country if for no other reason to experience different cultures, different history, different people, to gain that love of our own country, right? That's part of it. I know it is, because some of you come back with some really good stories. Today's scripture, I think, has a bit to say about this. That this kind of attitude could teach us a little something about what Mark is communicating. And let's be honest, Mark is going to do another sandwich thing, right? We talked about how he started with one story, he would interrupt it with a story, tell another story. We told the story of Jairus' daughter needing healed, gets interrupted by the bleeding woman, and then finishes with the story, right? We're going to have that, but it's a double cheeseburger, right? There's going to be bread, there's going to be meat, there's going to be more bread, there's going to be more meat, and then we're going to have the end of the sandwich. So for the next 2 weeks, that's what we got. So this is a story within a story. We don't fully get to hear how everything ends with the disciples, because that ending is going to be sandwiched somewhere else and for a reason. But what we do get told before this scripture that I didn't include is that after Jesus gets kicked out from the Decapolis, right, because he healed the guy who's at the cemetery filled with demons, and then he threw him into the pigs, right, legion, and they're like, get out of here. Well, he does. He crosses back over the lake. And he begins doing a little bit of wandering, a little bit of preaching. And then it says, and then he gathered the 12. And he's going to send them out. He's going to send the 12 out. And this isn't him going, all right, guys, wing it. You got it. We already know that they've been asked to follow him at this point. In chapter 3, he makes them the leaders, the apostles. We're in chapter 6. There's been time for the disciples to know what it's like to be a student and to be a leader and to watch how Jesus leads. We've had stories between they were called to be apostles till now of Jesus going out and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. His message, his proclamation. We've heard his teachings, the sowers and the seeds, right? They've gotten to hear his parables. They've also seen how he does his work, how he serves the community. I like to say and remind you guys that this is something we have said before. When we hear repent for the kingdom of God has come near, that message lets us know that that royal temple presence that we would find in the Jerusalem temple has gone out towards the people. God's personal presence has gone out. That means his authority, that means his healing, his life, his personal presence is going out. And it's embodied. Jesus is it, right? He's filled with the Spirit. He's filled with the presence. For us Christians, he's God. He's that presence. John calls him the tabernacle, right? So the Spirit is already going out. And the disciples are seeing that work out. When he takes out the demons, that's the authority part of the Spirit. That's the royal part. Who's in charge, right? And when he heals somebody, or he cleans up the house, if you remember that metaphor, when he takes an unclean person and makes them clean, that's the Spirit, that's the holy divine part. That's the temple presence making people whole and in connection with God. And that's what we see him doing. He's healing people, the blind, the lepers, right? He's out there, he's doing things. He's casting out demons. So the disciples have seen him do that too. And then we get to the point where they've even seen him face opposition, right? People who may not agree with him, people who are challenging him, they've gotten that too. So they are well prepared for this task. And this task is not a forever task. This is a mission, right? That's what we call them in church, a mission. You're going to go somewhere for a period of time, and you're going to come back. And this is what we're looking at. He says, this authority I'm going to give you, we see it as temporary. But it's familiar to us, this side of Pentecost, because it is the Spirit. He has given them the authority and presence of the Holy Spirit, which will be given to them fully and completely, Pentecost. But they have a taste of it now, a taste of it this side of the cross. And it empowers them to do what? To be little Jesuses. Just as Jesus went places and communicated God's personal presence, so will they. That's what they're going to do. And at the end, it confirms that. They go out, they cast out demons, and they anoint people with oil and heal them. Right? And you can imagine they don't just show up and just randomly pour oil on somebody. They're saying, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Right? And then they're telling the teaching, and they're pointing people back to Jesus. They're called out two by two for a reason. And so that way they can witness to Jesus. In that time, in that culture, two people as a witness was important. So Jesus doesn't send them out alone. Who I am and what I'm doing is not of my own authority, but the one who sends me. They recognize they are messengers. Right? And Jesus says, don't take anything with you. Right? That's how we know it's a short journey. Don't take too much with you. Allow hospitality to happen. This wasn't uncommon during their days, but I bet you there were days where Jesus had to camp too whenever he was traveling. So it's not like they wouldn't be prepared for life on the road. Go. Take only a few things. Don't really stock up on supplies. This is language of the wilderness. Trust in the Lord on your journey from Egypt to the Holy Land. As I send you out, the point of this is to trust in the Lord. And when you get to a spot and they do offer you hospitality, don't hop houses. Don't get into a house, start preaching somewhere, teaching somewhere, get a little bit more popular, and move to the next biggest, nicer house. And keep doing that until you find the richest person in town who's offering you the best bed and breakfast you've ever had. That's not the goal here. Right? And if you get to a place where they want nothing to do with you, dust off your sandals when you leave town and carry on. Now, part of this is his message. What Jesus is doing right now is he is inviting people. And not just inviting people, but also inviting himself. The goal is not to proselytize and bring people to Jesus back in Capernaum. That's not what he's doing. Jesus is fully intending wherever they go, he's going to go. So this is them going, this is a taste of who he is. Do you want him here or not? This is what Jesus is doing. The kingdom is coming. Do you want to participate in it or not? And depending on their answer, depends on if Jesus goes then. If the people are hostile to the message and kick them out, okay. Dust my sandals off, I'll move on to the next one. Invitation denied. The dusting off of the sandals, that's what you did when you came back into the Holy Land from Gentile territory. If you were going from Turkey to Israel, when you crossed that border, you tap your sandals and the dust off your feet because you're coming back into God's space. It's a powerful message of what's happening here. So as he sends them out to Jericho, to Caesarea Philippi, back to the Decapolis, wherever they're going, this is the message they are to be sending. They are the sent ones. They are the messengers. Okay? Think of it in the terms of the parable of the banquet. I invited you to a wedding, and if you said no, my messengers went on, and they went out to the streets. And when my house still wasn't full, they went out to the highways and the hedges. This is that idea. God's house needs to be full. It's the invitation. They are the sent ones. And wherever they go, they are bringing God's presence, God's royal temple presence with him, God's royal message that God is reaching out to them. And they are able not just to use their words to communicate that, but their actions just as Jesus did. This is huge. Why is this huge? This is who we are. This is who we are. Because we are on this side of Pentecost. We are the sent ones. We are the ones filled with God's personal royal temple presence, the Holy Spirit. And we are sent out. And how do we display that, exhibit that, live that? If we are always treading the same places, always going into the same people, always in the same circles, always to the same places, we can't be the sent ones. If we're being bad tourists, if we expect to go everywhere and do exactly the same thing and have everybody else be exactly the same, we're going to fail. Part of this mission is that when the disciples go out, they're going somewhere new. Remember, a lot of them are from the Galilee area. That's not where Jesus is always sending them. Think about it. Are your problems the exact problems of somebody living in a high rise on the Lakeshore Drive? Some things might overlap, but life probably looks different. That person may not have a car. Not because they can't afford it, but because they don't need it. Right? Just think of the context, not even the culture, but the context of where they are. The point of Jesus saying you're going to go and you're going to stay a while is because as the sent ones, we have to listen to the people around us. We're called to absorb the context and the culture around us so that way we can better speak God's life into the situation. We can't assume anything. How can we speak life into a person's living situation if we don't know how they're living? How can we tell somebody that God is their light and their hope if we don't know what their struggles are? Notice that they're going around healing people. That means they had to take the time to learn what ails them, what hurts them, what they need. What they're struggling with. That's who we're called to be. The people who go into the world. And notice, it wasn't with the goal to make more church memberships. They weren't trying to drag people back to Jesus, back in Galilee and Capernaum, to hear Jesus. Jesus says, no, send out the message, and when I come, they will follow me. And I guarantee you, some of them did go back and follow him in Capernaum. And some of them stayed right where they were. Like the guy we heard a couple weeks ago who got legion taken out of him. He didn't follow Jesus. He was told to go back into his own place. Why do I say all this? There's been something that has been laid on my heart. And it's been really surrounding everything that I see, read, do. And it is that I think the church still thinks that we're just one generation removed from a people who have been in church. I've heard more talks and articles about reaching out to millennials, my generation, than ever before. For some reason, this week, it was real hot and heavy with, we got to get millennials back to the church. Because we do recognize millennials are the first generation that really left the church and didn't come back. And that scares us. But I'm here to tell you there are millennials with grandkids. I'll say that again. There are millennials with grandkids already. Millennials are in their 40s. That means we've missed two generations. That means there's two generations out there right now of people who have never stepped foot in the church, who don't know Jesus because Jesus was never part of their life, and their culture and their context is different than maybe what we believe. And we as a church, not just, I wouldn't say Faith Connection, but Big C Church in America still functions as if we're only one generation away as if the mission field is still some far-off place. But it's not. It's here. It is your grandkids. It's probably your great-grandkids. It's the people we love and hold dear. It's our own community. The mission field is here. And the trick is, just like with those who were sent out here in our story, they weren't sent out to Turkey and to Greece. They were sent to Jewish people in Israel. And they still had to listen for the context and the culture and where God was moving. So I want to encourage us to live into who we are. We are the sent ones. We are the ones filled with God's presence that Jesus is sending us out with a message, but also with action. We are called to be the people who reach out. We have said in our own church, our mission is to the next generation. That has to include those younger generations. And that's going to mean we got to start treating where we are as the mission field. And any good missionary starts with listening, starts with understanding, and then begins to meet the people where they are and work from there. It does not begin with, be like us, here's all my language, here's how we've always done it. We're in for a challenge, this church in America. We are. I can tell you right now, my friend has more atheist friends, or my kid has more atheist friends than he does people who know who Jesus is. And that is because their parents and their parents' parents, they haven't been here. So we are called to be the sent out ones. First, I think that means we need to live that out. We can't just go into the normal things that we normally do. Have a little boldness in the spirit. Try something new. And when you're trying something new, look around. Take it in. Take in the people. Because it may be that those people there are just like you somewhere else. This is their normal spot. What do you see? What do you hear? Where can God meet these people? And you don't need to go overseas to find that. That's right here. A lot of you know younger people. A lot of you have family who are younger people. Sit with them. Listen to them. You don't have to say much. Ask them what their fears are. Ask them what their struggles are. Ask them what their concerns are. Meet them where they are. Be missional. Be mission-minded. Because that's who we're called to be, the sent ones. And as you do that, because you already have established good relationships, and you know Jesus hopefully better than most, a lot of you have been coming to church for a long time. So that means you know exactly how Jesus would come in and love these people. And that's what we're called to do. Just like the apostles, we are called to enter into those situations and bring God's love and presence and healing and life and authority where we go. Amen?
Amen.
So we have a big task before us. I'm not talking about church growth here. I'm not talking about new members. I'm talking about reaching people where they are, being missional-minded, and being those that are the sent out ones. Bringing people closer to Jesus. Connecting people with Jesus, possibly for the first time. We're going to be more of the sowers than we are the harvesters. To quote Jesus' parables. So the challenge for us here is, how are we doing that? In what ways are our lives embodying that? Are we thinking of being the sent out ones? Are we living into that calling that Jesus calls us into? I can tell you honestly, I'm usually not. I'm usually thinking about the normal stuff. What's getting done for dinner? What do I got to pick up? Oh no, this thing, the car fell apart, right? Life gets messy, and life can get really patterned really quickly, where every Monday is the same Monday. And we have to be reminded by the Spirit and challenged by God's word to be different. Shake things up. Reach out. Listen. don't try and fix was the number one lesson that my pastor told me when giving me marriage counseling. She's going to talk to you, and she doesn't necessarily need you to fix it. Listen. Right? So my brothers and sisters, my friends in faith, as we walk in this world, let us learn how we can reach out to this next group. If we really want to see the church full, if we really want to welcome as many people and bring as many people to Christ, that's our calling, that's our mission. That means we're going to have to go places and sit with people and listen to people. And some of them are going to be familiar. They're going to be our friends, our family, our coworkers. And sometimes it's going to be the person in the restaurant. And I guarantee you, if you pray for it, if you pray for those interactions, you'll encounter them over and over again. Every time I've asked God to bring me somebody that needs a good word, that needs his presence, God is always faithful and will always bring you something. So be open. Open to the movement of the Spirit. Be ready to listen. Be ready to embody Jesus to those around us. And in doing so, you will answer that calling of being the sent out ones. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy Father, we are so thankful that you have loved us, cared for us, taught us how to love ourselves because of how you love us. And now we get to share that love back with you, love you, and we are called now to love others. We thank you that you have given us the gift of your Spirit, your personal royal presence, your temple presence that has gone out from your temple in Jerusalem and has filled all of your believers. That is filling this space and we, your people, right now. We thank you that through that boldness of the Spirit, we are the ones who are sent out. That Jesus has sent us out, as it says in Matthew, to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yes, Lord, send us out. We raise our hands to be the people who get to reach out and listen to this next generation, and the generation after that, and now this newest generation that is among us. May we be able to reach out and listen and love and care and bring your healing and life to this next generation. May they come to know you through us, because we so embody who you are and who your Son is, that we become a light in the darkness. That we become something irresistible, not because we are irresistible, but because you are. And in all of that, may it bring you honor and glory, and may we invite those we encounter to walk alongside us as we follow you. And Father, if we get the joy and the privilege that those people do come back and get to worship with us in this space, then to you be the glory. And if they ever just stay a seed, may you find a way to grow them, care for them, and somebody else reap that benefit in their church. Because our goal is to make disciples, not members. And let that always be on our hearts and our minds. May you give us the strength to grow in our faith, that we feel the confidence to do this in our lives. And may we be remembered that we don't have to be perfect and all-knowing. We just have to know you and be ready to share you. Father, thank you for this privilege that we get together to praise your name, to study your word, to be led by your Spirit, and to be challenged by you. Father, we pray this in your holy name, in the name of your Son who sent us out, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Amen.